Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how we don't know about Supras, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs, my name is Tyler. I am the local tall guy. And joining me in the studio is the local short guy, Mr. Jimmy Jet. Mr. Jim Jet, Mr. Shorty, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty well. I actually named the Morphlade Stubby after you.
Oh, thank you. FYI.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad somebody finally is appreciating me.
Yep. Oh, man. So, about that Supra. How'd that go for you?
Yeah. I didn't know it was released, to be all honest. I'm still looking it up.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2021 gives it reviews.
Mm-hmm.
I did see it at SEMA in 2019, which I think is when it technically was released.
Okay.
It was a 2020 release. Uh-huh. But I have never seen one out on the road, I don't think.
I haven't either.
Yeah.
Somebody else commented that you had no excuse because you were at SEMA.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, okay.
Whatever. Car and Driver gives it a 10 out of 10, and U.S. News and World Report gives it an 8.4 out of 10.
Nice. Sounds like a pretty nice car.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, one day I might be able to see it and see
how much are they?
43,000.
Oh, that's not too bad.
No, it's not.
Less than a Bronco.
Yeah, it's got a, you can get a 2 liter inline four or a 3 liter inline six.
Ooh, give me the inline six.
Right? Why would anybody do that?
Right.
25 to 32 miles per gallon. It weighs somewhere between 31 and 34,000 pounds.
Wow. Or 34,000?
100 pounds.
Jeez. Yeah. That's a big bodied lady girl, man.
3 liter has 382 horsepower.
It's not bad.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Not bad.
No, not too shabby.
What's it, 0 to 60?
Don't know. Doesn't say on this one that I'm looking at.
But here's the more important
probably
question.
Whatever a Z3 does.
The bigger question is, what's its final crawl ratio?
Yeah.
That's what probably. I really want to know. How big of tires can we fit under it stock?
Yeah.
Can we put 33s?
I don't know. We'll find out later, maybe.
If someone wants to donate a Supra, we will definitely answer that question for everybody.
Yeah.
For sure. Other than that, that was a fun episode. Somebody said that they disagreed with our categorization of sports cars.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, out of everything in that show, that's what you disagree with?
That's okay.
Whatever.
Yeah. There was a lot of hate mail.
There was.
There was a lot of hate mail, which was awesome.
I know. I thought it was funny.
I'm glad it came through. You know, and it's funny because people didn't like the fact that we separated the trucks.
Mm-hmm.
People didn't like the fact that we were including hatchbacks. Mm-hmm. People, you know, didn't like the fact that we forgot the Supra.
Yeah.
And the thing, I had a whole bunch of people saying things about other car manufacturers that, mm-hmm. you know, like Chevys or Fords or Dodges and things that, like, I just didn't know. Like, you know, it's like, I'm not going to, you know, I guess I can't, I should maybe do a little bit more research, but we were kind of going off what we knew as, you know, for the most part, for what we understood about the, mm-hmm. the brands,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I think that's like, I'm not a Chevy guy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know every single platform or whatever Chevy has out there and the little, you know, like bonus packages for the, you know, the Colorado.
Yeah.
You know, you know
what also I find interesting is that, you know, the whole reason why we did that is so that we can try and figure out if you wanted to pick one brand and stick with that brand to be able to fit any vehicle that you would need, which brand would be the best one to go with.
Yeah.
And still nobody has refuted that question.
No.
Nobody has said anything about the whole premise of that show.
No.
single person.
Everybody has come back and fought us on one vehicle.
Yeah. One vehicle. Or, yeah. That's just, I'm just like, yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah.
I have nobody has come to tell me that Porsche should be the brand.
Yeah, nobody has come to say that Toyota should be the brand, or even Chevy or Dodge should be the brand.
Yeah,
like that's what's funny about it. I'm like, yeah, okay,
everybody
cool.
agrees then that Ford is the best brand.
Yeah,
the best vehicle manufacturer that encompasses all different types of vehicles. Mm-hmm.
I did think that somebody did bring it up and say though that you know, is that a good thing though? Which is kind of one of the questions we were getting to at the end of the episode is, do you really want a brand that does everything, or do you want somebody who's really focused like Porsche or like Ram? Mm-hmm. Like Ram is just trucks.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I don't know.
That was something that we didn't talk about either, mm-hmm. but you know, we were lumping them in together, but, mm-hmm. Exactly. I think that's, it's an interesting topic, you know, Jeep's just sort of being, I would maybe an SUV, mm-hmm. you know,
technically it's a sport utility vehicle.
Yeah, it's not a truck. So
I did find it interesting.
Gladiator.
Somebody was trying to argue that the Ford Focus hatchback is not a hatchback.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. I'm not even going to talk to you. Like, I'm just going to ignore that
hatch
one.
In the back? Right.
I was like, I don't know what you're classifying as a hatchback then. Yeah. So anyways, interesting episode. I kind of liked all the drama that was brought up about it.
I too. It almost makes me feel like we should purposefully say things wrong so then people come and say hi to us.
Ooh, there we go.
Yeah.
That might actually lead into something a little bit later that I was planning on doing a new segment for the show.
Oh.
But it turns out the Trail Chases already do it. So I'm like, oh, bummer. I don't know if we can really do it now or if there's something that we can do take another spin on it with.
Yeah.
So anyways, we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Okay.
Other than that, things have been great. This is a Thursday episode 183. Huge, huge congratulations to our number one, I don't know what we would call him. Our number one person we look up to, Justin Reese. Our number one hero, Mr. Justin Reese in 4619. He finished first place.
Out at BFE.
Out at the beatdown at area BFE for the 4600 class. So congratulations, Justin. Keep kicking ass, man.
That's awesome.
I'm hopeful and pretty excited to see him do really well the rest of the year.
He finished first via time, right?
Correct.
He wasn't the first one to actually go across the podium.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that just means he wasn't in the pole position when he started.
Absolutely.
But that's the great thing about Ultra 4, right?
Or he stopped and helped a bunch of people.
He helps roll some people over, put a fire out or something. Mm-hmm. Maybe he stopped to help the Wicks put their knuckle and axle back together.
Back together. Yeah.
Oh, man. That was crazy. Those pictures are, I'm like, I know how beefy those axles are. I know how much abuse they can put. And for you to destroy a knuckle and crack the housing is very impressive.
Yeah, you must have hit something big and hard.
Yes. Also from that race, I thought it was really, really cool to see Bailey Cole's response on Instagram to getting a red card.
I don't know what... I haven't heard anything about this.
Oh, this is a pretty interesting story with a really cool outcome. Okay. Essentially, the Gomez brothers, I think it was not Raul, not JP, Marion? Maybe it was Marion or the other one. Who's the fourth one?
Are there four?
There's four, three? Yeah.
Jeez.
Raul, JP, Marion, and I can't remember that last one. But anyways, one of them was off course, broken down, kind of off to the side, and Bailey Cole came through and went off course and hit their car. I'm sure it was on accident, but he hit the car, did some fairly serious damage to it, and then kept going. So he kind of pulled a hit and run off course during his run at BFE.
Interesting.
And the racers in Ultra 4, they have the ability to submit a red card complaint. And a red card complaint is something that the racers see out on the course that course marshals don't see.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the complaint is submitted, the course officials and everybody have to go through and research it and see if that complaint is warranted and valid or not. You owe money to the beer tab now. Just
I know. I know, that's embarrassing. Rookie move,
not silencing the phone. So anyways, it was looked into, and it was, sure enough, Bailey was
deemed off course. He was deemed as pulling an unsportsmanlike conduct.
Sure.
And they DNF'd him.
Okay.
At that point in the race, did not finish.
Yeah.
And so Bailey put out on Instagram a really, I think, a really cool, extremely, I don't want to say grown-up response, extremely level-headed apology and acknowledgement of his actions.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said, hey, I totally did this. I 100%, I'm not trying to say I didn't do it. I'm not trying to say that it was even warranted that I did it. It was a bad decision. I regret doing it. I completely stand behind the Gomez's decision to red card me. And I completely stand behind Ultra Four's decision to disqualify me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I 100%, I totally did it. I'm not
interesting.
And he just said, like, I'm sorry. You know, this is a big learning point in my career. And he said he's looking forward to taking this as a learning opportunity and moving forward with it. So I thought it was a really cool response. But that's kind of the story behind Bailey's DNF at BFE.
Yeah. Interesting. I didn't know that's what the purpose was.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of our friends, and I'm sure Wheeling Wine and Whiskey will also talk about it. But yeah, Ultra Four Jones got a DNF as well. His first time ever racing and achieving a DNF.
Yeah.
So that's sad news there as well.
Yeah. He apparently obliterated his front axle shafts. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So congratulations, Kevin.
Yeah.
You get to get some new axle shafts now.
Right.
Yay. So Kevin did that. And there's gonna be a bunch of other updates. I'm sure Wheeling Wine and Whiskey will cover them more in depth. Since that's more of their expertise. I just thought it was a really interesting some fun updates from BFE. So yeah.
Excellent.
Let's see some other updates coming through the pipeline on this awesome Thursday. Morflate is officially going to be in Canada.
Really?
We just struck up a deal with a Canadian distributor.
Nice.
So Crave Automotive in Alberta.
Oh, cool.
They do essentially off-road builds. And they've built some really badass, they're like the Stellar Built of Alberta,
okay,
essentially. So they work on Tacomas and 4Runners and Toyota platforms. They're going to be the distributor for Canada moving forward, which will be really awesome to see some more Morflate distribution and better service to Canada, finally. Because it's very difficult to service Canadians from internationally.
Yeah. So. I know a little of those hurdles. It's just the shipping and everything's a pain.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it costs
ridiculous.
The last package, last one I shipped to Canada cost $120 total in shipping through UPS.
Dang.
And I was stupid. We can't, I can't do this.
Right. Well, that's good news. I have a few Canadian Toyota guys if we need to start promotions up there.
Nice. Yeah, I've already picked up a couple. Well, I'll be sponsoring essentially a couple of the guys that work at Crave.
Sure.
One of them has a really nice Instagram account that does some great content there. So we'll be hooking them up and starting some footwork there in Canada.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's great news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good times. Another update.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to get into it. I got some phone calls from some listeners.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And they left me some voicemails. So what we're going to do here, we're going to hook up my phone to the board here.
Is that you?
That's me.
Okay.
All right. So we're paired up and I'm going to play. We're going to go through all the voicemails I got.
Oh, geez.
Okay. So here's the first one. Let's see if this will work here.
Hey, Jimmy, James Black. This is Kevin Poole, JD Wheeler. Congratulations to you and your assistant on your engagement and all your future endeavors.
That was nice. Thanks, Kevin.
Here's another one.
Hey, Snail Trail boys. This is Rob with Adventures of Sarge. Hey, I just wanted to congratulate Jimmy on making the biggest mistake of his life. Nah, I'm just kidding, man. Super stoked for you. One thing of advice, though. She is always right, and what is yours is hers, and what hers is hers. So just remember that and never go to bed angry with each other. All right, guys. Awesome, man. Super stoked.
Sweet, thank you.
That is great advice, too.
Yeah.
Hey, Jimmy. I know I'm just a lowly JK owner, but I wanted to congratulate you on your engagement. I know your marriage will be just like a 22RE. Easy to keep running day to day with one tool, run devotedly forever, and able to crawl over any obstacle in its path. And get your mind out of the gutter, Tyler. I was talking about a 10-millimeter socket. Oh, and I also officiate wedding ceremonies. If you're interested, hit me up on 146-805-K6-NUB.
Nice. That's awesome.
Another one?
Hey, Jimmy. Heard you got engaged. Just wanted to say congratulations. Hope everything goes well. And just so you know, planning a wedding fucking sucks.
Do you know who that was?
Yeah, I do.
Joey.
Yep.
Congratulations, Jimmy.
You're engaged from the Murphys.
Awesome. Thanks.
So that was Brian.
Yeah.
And what's funny about that is I'm noticing a pattern of his wife getting in on things that he's doing.
Yeah.
Right? She did the like same the thing movie. On his yeah. submission video. Yeah. Another one.
Hey, Jimmy Jett, Ultra Fort Jones. Calling to wish you and the assistant congratulations on getting engaged. Super happy for you, man. Congrats.
That's cool. Thanks.
This one I was thinking was going to be, I wasn't going to be able to air it, but.
James, it's Sherpa. This congratulatory message is to memorialize the assistant promotion to, what would it be? Manager? Director? Oh, wait, I know. VP of Vinny. Anywho, congratulations. Fuck yeah.
Thanks, Sherpa. She did ask if she was going to get a raise.
She's going to get a raise, a promotion. That's promotion. Funny.
Yeah.
Jimmy, it's Robert Wild Taco. Just want to wish you congratulations on the engagement, man. And a little bit of advice. Marriage is kind of like crawling. Once you get through one obstacle, you think you're done, but there's always another one right in front of you. All right, man.
I believe it.
It is actually kind of fun being married.
Thanks, Rob.
Hey, Jimmy, it's John Baudette from Maryland. Congratulations on the engagement. That's pretty exciting. You're going to need a new name for her now. She has now been upgraded from the assistant to the old ball and chain. Congratulations. I wish you guys the best. Thanks, guys.
And there's some more here. Oh, here's a good one.
Hey, Jimmy, we are so excited about the big news. This is Sarah and Ryan, and we are so happy to be welcoming the assistant into our big extended family. We can't wait to see what the adventure brings to you guys. We love you. Bye.
That's cool. Thanks, Sarah.
Mm-hmm. And this one?
Hey, Jimmy. Beer Andy here, giving you a big congratulations on your engagement. Good luck, bud.
The official snail trail editor.
Yeah, he didn't sound too excited for me.
That's Beer Andy, though. He's yeah, always he's very lovable.
Monotone, yeah.
Kind of like you. Yes.
That's why we get along so well.
Yeah.
Jimmy, I heard you you took the plunge.
Oh, that's right. His got all messed up.
Oh.
So, something about taking a plunge.
Yeah. I did it in Jimmy, Antarctica.
This is Garrett Corey. So happy that you are no longer the old creepy bachelor guy out on the trail. Congratulations from Mrs. Gearinch and the little Gearinches. Have a great day and looking forward to it. Thank you.
Sweet. Thanks.
And the final one.
Hey, Jimmy, it's Jason from the Wheeling Wine and Whiskey podcast. Hey, I heard a rumor that you got engaged. Wow. That's a huge upgrade. If that's true, congratulations. Next thing you know, you'll be buying a JL. Fixing lavender soft top lattes on the Rubicon. Anyways, man, congratulations. Super happy for you guys. And look forward to seeing you guys in person to congratulate you personally. All right, man. Take care. Over.
Okay, thanks, Jason.
There we go. A bunch of voicemails from the listeners.
That was fun.
Yeah. So do you have something you want to tell everybody here, buddy?
Yeah, Jason gave me a call as well and said, congratulations to me because the assistant is way cooler and I don't really deserve her. And and she said a good apology to the assistant because she's now going to have to deal with me for the rest of her life.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, right? Yeah, no, that's it's pretty exciting. It was fun. It was a pretty fun day for the most part. It was...
What I'm interested in is because you did it on April Fool's Day.
Yeah, I did.
So I told that to the secretary, and she goes, "Why would anybody propose on April Fool's Day?" And I was like, "You obviously don't know Jimmy."
Right? That's kind of what she said as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's great.
Let's see. So let's go. Let's time travel a little bit. Let's go back to, so April Fool's Day was on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And let's go back to Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So Wednesday, I had a time scheduled to go talk to the assistant's stepfather.
Oh, okay.
Who's sort of more the father figure in her life.
Mm-hmm.
I already had a conversation with her real dad, who lives up by like Arcata, Eureka, Yreka, up in that area. I called him and talked to him on the phone and got his blessing. I had to call her brother, who is the only person that I had the phone number of in like the family. So I called him and asked his permission, and then asked for the phone numbers of her dad and stepdad.
Uh-huh.
And so he then, once he gave me the permission, he gave me the phone numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had an appointment on Wednesday to go meet with her stepdad, who lives locally and likes Pendleton whiskey. So I went and got a bottle of Pendleton whiskey. And I had an appointment.
So you buy your approvals.
Well, yeah. And had a time to schedule and meet up with him.
Yeah.
On Wednesday. So Wednesday comes around, and Wednesday morning I went up to Brennan's.
Okay.
And we were working on Charlotte, the Tacoma.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And man, did we screw up. But so what happened was the test was, can you fit 33-inch tires onto a stock Tacoma?
A third gen
Tacoma with stock wheels, stock, no lift, completely mm-hmm. stock. Can you fit 33s on there? And really the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
But when we went to drop off the wheels and tires and truck, we just completely blanked, but my wheels were 16s and the tires were 17s.
Oh no.
And so they're like, yeah, we took it all apart.
Oh, geez.
And you left us a vehicle that it's not compatible. And so we then had to bring, Brennan had his old wheels from his truck.
Okay.
Still. So we brought those down. We did the swap. We threw it all on. We had to do a little bit of fender modifications. And what we found out was that with the stock wheels, on a stock vehicle, it will turn and it'll hit the upper control arm.
Okay.
On the, when you turn, it'll hit the front of the upper control arm when you turn, like either direction, I guess. So then we went, the only spacers that we have to push the wheel out were 1.25-inch spacers. And when we did that, it no longer hit the upper control arm, but now it's hitting the fender in the front and rear and mm-hmm. hitting the body mount. And so, it's sort of this cat and mouse game.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, there I did some work on it yesterday, and I used a heat gun and moved some of the plastic out of the way a little bit more, and I bought a 1/2-inch, like what do you want to call it there, a shim, like mm-hmm. it's just a thing that goes over the lug nuts and then you put the tire over that.
Yeah,
something I never advise anybody to actually use and run, but I was using it more as just a test mm-hmm. to see if this would solve the problem, and it really did. So nice. If you use, so I'm ordering.
So 1/2-inch spacer.
I'm ordering a 3/4-inch spacer because I think it just a little bit more will be fine and it looks better when mm-hmm. it's a little bit out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm ordering some 3/4-inch spacers to see if that will solve all the problems.
Mm-hmm.
And then that'll be really good to know, and it'll be great for their article and everything. So anyway, so we screwed up a bunch of times. Well, we screwed up with the wheels and that pushed us back like 4 hours.
Okay.
And so all in all, I really missed my appointment with her stepdad.
Oh no,
because
Jimmy.
My truck was down, like we were way out, and he's forgiving and understanding, and but yeah, so the next Thursday morning I talked to him, and I on my way back, and I was like, I was driving back at like eight-ish or something,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, I can come over now, but I know you go to bed fairly early. And he's like, yeah, why don't we just do it tomorrow?
Yeah, that's my bedtime, 8 o'clock. I'm like, 8 o'clock and later, I'm not talking to anybody.
So he suggested, I was like, I'm more like, I can come over like this. I'm on my way. I can tell the assistant that I've got to run to my house real quick or make up some excuse and I can come and talk to you. And he's like, nah, let's just meet tomorrow. And so at 8 a.m. ish, I walk into his house with a bottle of Pendleton, and I said, we were meant to drink this last night, but I don't think we need to crack it this morning. And so I talked to him and get his blessings as well, and mm-hmm. everything worked out. And then then I had to go back to my house because I'm getting solar put in.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent 3 to 4 hours working with my parents to dig a trench from the shop to the house.
Yeah.
Because we just, that's the way the power is going to get ran.
Mm-hmm.
And so the assistant and the assistant's assistant was meeting up with her cousins and their kids, and they're all out at this park. And so I went to Target and I bought this huge bag of Ring Pops, like okay. 20 Ring Pops or something like that. And I come walking up to the park and I hand out all these Ring Pops to the kids, you know, and I look over at the assistant and I'm like, would you like a ring? You know, and she's like, yeah, you know, like, and I go, what flavor do you want? You know, and she's like, ha ha. And so I gave her like a blue raspberry twist thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was.
Is that something people need to not look up on Urban Dictionary?
Raspberry
twist.
I think it's really a flavor.
Okay.
So after that, the ring was actually in the bag.
Oh,
at that point.
Okay. Like in with the ring
in pop? With the, all the ring pops.
Oh, I right? see. Okay.
But nothing really, like, it just didn't feel like the moment, right?
Okay.
Nothing was, it just wasn't happening. You know, like there wasn't any, like I probably could have done something or whatever, but wasn't working out. So we ended up, the play date was over with the kids. The assistant went back to her house. The cousin went back to their house. I had to run a quick little errand or do something. And then I went back to the assistant's place and I brought the bag of ring pops in again. And I was like, hey, assistant, so you want another ring?
Uh-huh.
And she's like, yeah, you know, super excited. And the assistant was like, no, she can't have another ring. I'm like, how about you? Do you want another ring?
Uh-huh.
And she's like, no. I'm like, are you sure you don't want another ring? Maybe a watermelon, maybe a raspberry, strawberry, or a diamond. And she's like, what? And I like get down on my knee right there and I open it, reach into the ring pop thing, pull out a ring case and open it up and say, will you marry me? And she just freaks out. Yeah. And the assistant was like almost to tears right in front of us. Like, oh my gosh, this is happening. She was freaking out more than the assistant was, but yeah. So it was pretty funny. And the next morning, I asked for the ring back, you know, like April Fools, can I have the ring back? And she's like, no. So I guess I'm engaged.
You're stuck now.
Yeah.
Your plan to get out of it didn't work. Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Man.
Thanks.
That's
yeah.
really cool.
It was fun. And it was actually, we didn't necessarily plan it this way, but if there's anybody out there that is considering getting engaged, it was really nice to have a break between actually getting engaged and then announcing the engagement a few days later.
Oh yeah.
Right. Because I would assume that a lot of people get engaged and immediately announce it and then get bombarded with all kinds of questions and congratulations. And when's the wedding? What's the date? Where are you getting married? Blah, blah, blah. And we haven't figured any of that stuff out yet, but it was nice to have it be for us. And then I think we announced it on Saturday when we were up in Tahoe.
Nice.
So I had a lot of people go like, you brought ring pops to Tahoe? Like, I'm like, no. No, that's not how it happened. But
not quite, people. Sorry. Yeah.
But it was nice to have that little break, a few days to celebrate us and be with you know, our immediate family before we got bombarded with everything. So
nice.
Yeah. I think you were one of the first people I told because you came over the next day, I think.
Yeah.
And then, we told my parents knew because it was actually my grandmother's ring.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of fun. And then some of her family found out pretty quick. We started making some phone calls.
Yeah. So. Nice. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Thanks. It's exciting. I'm not sure what the game plan is. I think we're going to do, we're going to try to fall into the COVID thing and do something super duper small.
Nice.
Yeah.
That was good. You know, I always kind of complain that our wedding was the week everything shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like freaking out. The people that did fly in were like, you know, we need to get out of the state before all the airports are shut down. Yeah. And so it was a huge cluster, but we really enjoyed having like only 10 people there.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have to hunt people down for pictures. You don't have to go around and say hi to everybody. And
right.
It was just extremely, extremely relaxing all afternoon.
Yeah.
Small weddings are fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah. We were looking at like, okay, how many people would there be, including us, if we had invited just our family and our siblings? And mm-hmm. it comes out to be like 15.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of looking at that.
Should do a live stream.
Maybe.
I'll come and set up all your audio.
Yeah.
And then just be off to the back.
Yeah.
AV guy.
Who was the gentleman that said he was ordained?
That was Jamie from Folsom.
Oh, okay.
Folsom Jamie.
Got it.
James.
I might need to hit him up. We'll see.
Yeah.
Jason
Green's also ordained.
That's true. Yeah. I've done 3 or 4 weddings and I've considered asking.
Doing your own?
Well, I don't know if you're allowed to, but I was considering asking one of the people that I've done a wedding for to do the wedding for me.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Green is. So.
Yeah, that would be, mm-hmm. that could be fun too.
That could be interesting. We need to get Sherpa ordained.
Yeah. Sherpa already is. Right? Sherpa, go sign up for the churchofthedude.com.
Yeah.
I wish I was on that one. I'm Universal Life Church.
Okay.
But Church of the Dude, I wish I could say, you know, by the power invested in me and churchofthedude.com, I now pronounce you man and wife.
Oh, yeah.
That would be funny to say at the end of a wedding.
That would be great.
I always enjoyed throwing in the .com thing.
The .com like, one on there. Yeah.
I always thought that was funny. So yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny because I've done a few weddings and so I have an idea of how like to write the process, mm-hmm. you know, to mm-hmm. set it up. And so I'm thinking about asking one of my friends to kind of do it and I would pretty much be there to help him write the process.
Do that. Like, yeah. Do that.
Okay. You need to write an intro. Uh-huh. We'll do this section. You need to do this section. Uh-huh. We'll write our own vows, you know, like,
yeah.
Then there's the ring ceremony and then there's, you know, yeah. like I'll lay it out for him. It'll be easy. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Any, do you have an idea of time frame? I mean, just quick. That's all, you know,
we're probably thinking about once. Because the assistant's a teacher, so it'll mm-hmm. be after school. School's out.
Summer.
Okay. Yeah, summertime. We're thinking about, within 4 to 5 months, maybe.
Mm-hmm. At Spider Lake?
Yeah. Well, we're sort of thinking of Yosemite at this point.
Okay.
Because my parents were married in Yosemite, and my brother was married in Yosemite.
Okay.
And so we just thought it'd be kind of fun to
nice.
See that. But we're not stuck to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, so I guess there'll be more updates on all that in the future. Yeah. And one of my good friends, Brian Damshin, he came up mm-hmm. for the celebration, the 10,000 mm-hmm. subscribers and Patreon meetup and stuff. He taught me a lesson that I learned from him a long time ago, which was, and somebody said it as well, like, anything that is yours is hers and anything that's hers is hers. And Brian went up to that and he said, whenever, if you buy something nice, it becomes theirs. But uh-huh. then once you buy them something again, that is nice, that previous nice thing then becomes yours. Oh. So always think about when it's coming down the line, if you're going to want it.
Yeah.
You know, and I was always like, oh, that's
so does that clever. Mean the assistant is going to get Samantha?
Maybe. and bummer, I might get stuck with Bobcat. I don't know. Yeah.
Interesting. Cool. So then you guys just kind of celebrated by going up to Tahoe, which was just for the weekend. And that was a nice little fun, relaxing trip. And you hit a puck while you were up there.
Yes, we did.
So everybody, that one is live for everybody to see now or to mm-hmm. find, I guess.
Yeah.
Somebody else found... Was it the last puck you did?
The Phantom Falls one.
Mm-hmm.
It's Table Mesa or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was it Trevor again? I think it was.
I think so.
That guy's on a roll. I think he has 2 or 3 now.
Is he? He has 3? I wonder if they're all different or if there's any repeats in there.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure he has 3. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's exciting. Yeah, and so I hit one up. We did a pretty basic walk, a little hike because we had the mini assistant with us. And mm-hmm. We did about 3.5-4 miles.
Nice.
And so we hit one out there by the Truckee River, kind of. Mm-hmm. And so that's, yeah, that one is not bad to get to, but you do have to drive up to Tahoe. But somebody out that way might mm-hmm. be able to do it fairly easy.
Nice.
So, yeah, that was fun. And we just, the trip to Tahoe was always, it was sort of planned beforehand.
Yeah, it wasn't a reward for it.
Yeah, no. We had a friend that was using their, like, what is it called when you, like, have a timeshare?
A timeshare?
Yeah, yeah, they were using timeshare points and got us a room in the Embassy Suites, with the former Embassy Suites. It's now called, like, Tahoe Mountain Resort or something. Mm-hmm. So we got, like, a king bed suite for $68 for two nights.
$68 for two nights?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And they don't have a parking lot. Like, they don't have a generic parking lot for you.
Uh-huh.
And they have valet. They're like, you could use valet or you can, you know, find parking on your own.
Uh-huh.
And so valet, we valeted both nights. Valet cost us almost as much as the room.
Wow.
So maybe more after all the little tips that you give. But yeah, so that was good. It was fun. I got, you know, up to my knees in Tahoe water, but I would have gone farther if I'd brought swim trunks out with me. Mm-hmm. But we went and did the hike, and then I was still in like hiking pants.
Gotcha.
So, went and did the hike, played in the sand, let the assistant run around and get crazy. We figured that the water was going to be so cold that she wouldn't get wet, and we were wrong. Yeah. She was like drenched and sandy by the end of it. And then didn't even do any gambling. We went to the kids' casino, which is AKA the arcade.
Okay.
And got 400 tickets. We won 400 tickets, and she got this like headband unicorn thing that lit up.
Uh-huh.
That was pretty cool.
Did you steal it from her?
No, I didn't. But that caught the 400 tickets equates to about $20.
Okay.
Which is what we put on the card.
Uh-huh.
And I was a little sad because we played Mario, and for some reason it didn't sync us up in the same race.
Yeah.
But we both got firsts.
Yeah.
We didn't win any tickets for it.
Bummer.
Yeah. So it was a good time. We met up with some of the assistant's friends were up there, and we just hung out, and it was a lazy, relaxing thing. And it was nice to do it, be up there right after, you know, we got engaged, and mm-hmm. then we did the announcement when we were up there. And since it was relaxing, I was able to answer questions and get on social media and
gotcha.
Like people's comments and stuff. So
nice.
It was good.
Yeah, that's fun. Last time I went to one of those ticket arcade places,
mm-hmm.
It was pre-secretary's on a date, right?
Okay.
And so we were just going around, playing around, having fun. There was the big thing with the lights that goes around, right? And if you stop the light at certain points, uh-huh. you get that many tickets. And so I did it once, and I came one light off of hitting the jackpot. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to do it again. And so I did it again. I hit the jackpot.
Yeah.
It was like, I don't know, 2,000 tickets, 4,000, whatever it was.
Okay.
And I was just joking around, and I'm on a date, right? So I'm like, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to hit it twice in a row. And she just was like, okay, whatever. Rolled her eyes at me, and I did it again, completely assuming I was going to completely fuck it up.
Yeah.
And I hit the jackpot again.
Right.
The second time in a row, and we ended up getting like four desserts from all the tickets. It was great.
Heck yeah. Yeah, some of those, once you've, like, what I found is, like, I'll watch a specific light.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say, three lights after whatever mm-hmm. or before a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
And when that light hits and you hit the button, you find out how far you are off.
Yeah.
Right? And then you adjust. You make your adjustment like, oh, I was one off, so I need to move my uh-huh. visual to the next light.
Uh-huh.
And then usually I get, like, it'll take me two or three times, but I can get the jackpot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happened. There's another one that drops a ball into a hole that's rotating.
Yep. I'm good at that one as well.
Yeah, that one. You go, there, you can swish it every time.
When's the ball past this certain spot or this corner? Like, get it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. You're just all about timing uh-huh. and figuring out how far you're off and making that adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was pretty good. They had that one at Dave and Buster's, and I was pretty good at that.
That's the one I love going to.
Yeah.
So, cool. Yeah. Cool times, man.
Yeah. Exciting.
Mm-hmm. Some congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
We have a couple more reviews that came in.
Okay.
We're now up to 217
Woo.
Reviews on iTunes, which is pretty wow. cool. Getting closer to 500. We have one that came in from TBob134.
Cool.
And it says, very fun off-road podcast. I'm an off-road junkie, so I listen to a number of off-road podcasts. Really enjoy Snail Trail 4x4, even though I'm a Jeep guy and not a Toyota guy. Love hearing about the West Coast wheeling, tech talk, and ham info. Keep up the great work.
Thanks.
So that one is from T Bob. Thank you, Mr. Bob. Next one, 5 stars from First Gen 4Runners Nashville.
No.
He says, fastest growing Toyota 4x4 podcast in Nashville. So, hey, we're upgrading from Lithuania and Estonia and Sacramento. So it says, just here for the free winch. All jokes aside, these guys are a couple fun-loving practical jokesters that their brohood love for each other is only rivaled by their knowledge of Toyota 4x4s. Warning, do not listen to this podcast unless you want to spend hours on Facebook Marketplace looking for Toyota 4x4s and parts to be cool like Tyler and Jimmy. I'm glad we can influence a lot of time wasted on Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah we're good at that.
Mm-hmm. So those are the two for today. We got a bunch more, so we'll get into those as we get into more episodes in the future here.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. If you want to leave us a review, that would be awesome. And once we get to 500 reviews, we are going to be giving away a winch.
Yes, sir. That will be happening. And 501, 2, and 3, do they get in?
Nope.
No.
Wah, wah. Wait, I got that one.
There we go. Yep. So make sure you get in for that if you want to win a winch. The more reviews you can leave, the more chances you have of winning a winch. Or I guess the better your odds get, I should say. So one review equals one entry. So that's a 1 out of 500 chance.
Yeah.
Two reviews equals 2 out of 500, which is 1 in 250.
Wow.
Because
look at that math.
I know, right? So yeah, we had that. My weekend was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually reached out to, or kind of Tacoma Powered reached out to me, or reached out to Morflight, right? Mm-hmm. About being an influencer for Morflight. And I was like, absolutely, let's set this up. Let's go. I've been looking for more of a local group to get a little bit more heavily involved with Morflight, right? Cool. And Tacoma Powered, he's a great dude. Younger, he's, I want to say, mid-20s.
Wow.
And he's...
They seem to be. A lot of those Instagram influencers are fairly young. Remind me about an influencer story. I have one for you after you're done.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's just, it's really interesting because he started that account and started this brand 7 months ago.
Oh, wow.
And he's up over 25,000 followers, and he did that meetup that you went out to that had a ton of cars, took over 1.5 parking lots.
Yeah.
And after meeting him, he's a really genuine, passionate guy about off-roading and sharing those experiences with people.
Cool.
Which is really freaking cool. And that's what who I want to partner. Those are the people that we need more of in the off-roading community, right? And so he was like, hey, just FYI, if you ever want to go on a trip, where I go out once or twice a month with my close group of friends, and we're actually going to be going out this weekend. And I was like, man, I am literally swamped. Like, and I literally, so up until that point, I had worked three and a half weeks every day straight, like 8 to 14 hour days. And I'm like, I need to take a break. I need to step back for a minute and reset. But I was like, but I also have a ton of work to do. I don't have that opportunity to step back and do it. And so I was like, hey, look, I'm going to try and go, but it is going to be super last minute as to whether or not I'm going to be able to go with you guys on your trip on Saturday. And so finally I messaged him like Friday night, like right before going to bed. I was like, you know what? Screw it. I need to get out and I need to just take a break and reset. So I'm going to come with you guys. Tell me where to meet, when to meet, and I'll be there. And so we met up on the morning out at a parking lot right off the freeway. And there was about... eight or nine rigs that showed up.
Cool.
And it was cool. One of them was one of the first purchasers of a snail armor.
Oh, really?
Yeah. His name was Tyler. He has a third gen Tacoma.
Ah.
Super nice taco there. But he loves his snail armor. And so awesome. We were talking about that. I got Juan his Morflight. And so Tyler was like, man, I need to get one of those too. And so we were just kind of talking about different stuff, and it was really neat to be there and kind of see these all the, they were all Tacomas. One 4Runner came in.
Okay.
And fifth gen? It was a fourth gen, I believe, but cool. It had a six cylinder in it.
Huh. Okay.
So
the 3.4?
Yeah. No, it had the 4.0. Yeah, the 4-liter six cylinder. Right.
Yeah.
So he runs the 4Runner powered Instagram brand. So he's 4Runner powered. There's Tacoma powered, and everybody else there they're super into like content and sharing their experiences, right? And sure. So I was like, it was just really interesting because I was the oddball. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting there in a crawler,
right?
A crawler on 40-inch tires and beefed up axles, and everything's trussed. And I'm just like, well, we'll see how it goes, and mm-hmm. we'll see what this day ends up being. Because originally they said they were going to go up to from Folsom and then go to somebody's place up Highway 50 and then go to Uncle Tom's,
right,
which is on the Highway 80 side. And I was like, this sounds like it's going to be a lot of driving and not a lot of wheeling for the day. So I was like, okay, we'll see how it goes. It should be fine. I get out of the house and out of the shop regardless. So we went up to Unleashed 4x4's place.
Oh, okay.
And so I just put the two and two, the connections together after the weekend was over.
Yeah.
I went back looking around on Instagram. Unleashed 4x4 has a Tacoma similarly built to a Ricky Bobby Ori.
Oh, yeah.
83 Ricky Bobby.
Yeah.
His Tacoma.
Mm-hmm.
It's a four-door short bed that he's on linked and coils, four-link front and rear on Dana 60 and turn and a half Sterling.
Got it.
So
that sounds cool.
It's a bitchin' badass build, his Tacoma is. He has an Atlas in it, four-speed Atlas.
Wow.
Mated to the stock transmission and the four-liter engine.
Okay.
So, he's got, it's really nicely done. And apparently, this guy's name is George. He's from SoCal. He lived in SoCal, and that's where he does all of his wheeling at, in King of the Hammers. The Hammers, the Johnson Valley area. Yeah. And he moved up here a few years ago for a job. And now he's like, you know, he I don't know if I should say this. I'm going to anyways, and we'll see if when you take it out later. He works as the sheriff for El Dorado County. He's one of the sheriffs, and he's the one that mainly drives the Rubicon Jeep.
Oh, okay.
So he's one of the two or three sheriffs that takes the Jeep and patrols the Rubicon during the summertime.
Got it.
And he patrols Mormon Immigrant Trail in the snow in the wintertime.
Yeah, sure.
So he's just
that's a horrible job,
right? he's like yeah, and it's that patrol stuff is like outside of his normal scope of work as a deputy. Mm. And so all that patrol is usually, that's essentially overtime on the weekends.
Oh, wow.
For him. And he goes, yeah, it's great. I was like, okay. He goes, it's just kind of, it's a bummer though, because you have to behave and act a very specific way. You're putting on a face for everybody, right?
Sure.
You can't just kind of let loose.
Absolutely.
And so he said that he's finally now has his Tacoma dialed in. So this will be like the first wheeling season up here in NorCal that he's had his rig finished and dialed in the way he wants it.
Wow. That'll be fun.
Yeah. So it'll be really cool. Great fabricator. He's done 30 or plus builds, and he likes to do full builds. He doesn't like to do installs.
Sure.
So he's done 30 plus full builds from being fabricating in SoCal to now being up here. So he's got a ton of knowledge, really cool guy. Went out to his property. He's only got 5 acres of land.
Wow.
And his property is actually like right down the hill from my in-laws.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when we went up there, I was like, you're literally like less than half a mile from the crow flies.
Yeah.
Celestexia is a bitch. So, and I was just like this. So it was really cool being out on his property. And, we went and had a flex out play, on his property because I was like, you know, I can either go on this trip with everybody or I can build my bump stops finally,
right,
on Kermit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, hey, it's actually a good opportunity. I can completely flex out Kermit and see exactly where I need to put the bump stops and get measurements and stuff, and kind of show off to all these overland Tacoma guys. while we're there, right?
Yeah.
And so George pulled his Tacoma out,
right,
and flexed out on the rocks, got it completely crossed over, and it was really impressive to see. And I'm like, man, I can't, I'm on leaf springs and mm-hmm. like, I know I haven't done the full trimming and bump stopping that I should to really get the most out of Kermit's suspension. So I'm like, I don't want to go and, you know,
up against that.
Up against that. So I just kind of waited about him for a little bit. And then the other guy, Juan 2, who runs 4Runner Powered, he brought his 4th gen out. And he goes, I was like, you know what? Let's pull the 4Runners out. I'll have a good time. So I climbed up on the rocks, and Kermit did way better than I thought he was going to. But it was really neat getting Kermit up there. I had to jump out of the door, and my slider was, you know, up past my chest.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. But it was really neat. I never pulled a tire off the ground. My rear tires definitely need a little bit more trimming on the fenders. The fenders are digging into the tires still.
Okay.
So I need to trim a little bit more there, but I was able to look and see exactly where everything was going to line up for bump stops.
Nice.
Which is really neat.
Yeah.
So I was like, cool, that's awesome. Got a few pictures. And then we kind of sat around and we're like, okay, let's go wheeling now. Let's go up and up to Uncle Tom's or somewhere, get to snow. And George was like, hey, man, if you guys can wait around an hour, then I can go with you. Because he had to finish up a project that he was working on before we all interrupted his day.
Sure.
And so we were like, yeah, sure, no problem. We'll wait around and see, you know, and we'll just wait for you. That way you can go wheeling with us too. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, what project are you working on? And he goes, oh, I'm building a fence. And we're like, oh, man. So we're all sitting around while he goes back to start work on the fence. And I'm like, there's people kind of looking at each other. You could tell half of the group is kind of like, I don't want to put in manual labor. And the other half is like, I feel kind of bad sitting here on this guy's property and not helping. So a bunch of us went over and helped him finish the fence. And like,
sure.
With five guys doing it, we knocked the whole like rest of the, like over, I don't know, and say over half, but maybe about half of the fence out in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So, we ended up,
which would have taken him.
It would have taken him and his neighbor easily double that amount of time,
right,
to do everything easily. So we ended up helping him finish up a fence, and then we all went wheeling, went out to Uncle Tom's, which is still closed.
Mm-hmm. Is there snow there, though?
There's a little bit of snow. It's pretty patchy, yeah, up to Uncle Tom's. It's melting pretty quick. We had a warm week last week, but it's doing its thing. The snow is super slushy. It's really terrible snow for wheeling in.
Bummer.
But it was a fun trip. Poor Uncle Tom's, though. They're apparently, the reason why they're staying closed is they're having issues transferring their liquor license from Doug, who passed away.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So Doug passed away, and the county, and I think it's the county, is being very... I don't want to say non-helpful, but we'll just stingy. Put non-help. We'll say, yeah, stingy. Stingy is a good word, about letting them pass the liquor license on to Doug's son.
That's silly.
Yeah. So there's a chance that Uncle Tom's may never open again.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Because they're having issues. The county is being very stingy with the liquor license issues.
Wow. That's lame.
Yeah, so that's a bummer. Mm-hmm. let's see. So we just, after that, we continued up and over Heartless down Wentworth Springs Road, and we went over to Loon Lake. Got everybody had a fun time down the backside of Heartless. Only a few people got stuck. Okay. The Tacomas actually did a lot better than I thought they were going to do.
Yeah.
I got stuck once. And in the process of getting around me and turning around, mm-hmm, to winch or pull me out, George got himself stuck.
Bummer.
So,
what size tires is George on?
He's on the 40-inch Pro Comps.
Okay.
Yeah. And I was on the 3950 IROX. Mm-hmm. So he got stuck. And so what we did was he got stuck perpendicular to me, right?
Okay.
So as he was trying to turn around.
Pull off of his rock slider?
No, he pulled his winch around to me. And figured one of us will move.
Yeah.
And so eventually I moved. I got unstuck and then just held my brake while we pulled him to see if we could just pull him around. Mm-hmm. But it ended up pulling him up and almost pulled him over.
Oh, dang.
Which is pretty funny to watch. Everyone's just kind of sitting back and all of a sudden George's whole driver's side of the vehicle was up in the air. We're like, I think we should stop.
Yeah.
Find a different way to do this. So we got George unstuck and then continued on down our way. Got some fun videos of people playing around in the snow. Got out to Loon Lake and then went down into the spillway.
Okay.
And then we're like, hey, let's just keep going, see how far we get. So we went up this on the other side of the spillway, up those that granite hill area.
Was it icy?
It was a little icy if you ended up digging down to the granite.
Sure. Understood.
Otherwise, it was okay traction, but there was a lot of bare patches still that had dried out throughout the day. So you slid a little bit until you hit a dry patch, and then you kept going.
Then you got the grip. Yeah.
But while we were up there, George and I were trying to decide if we wanted to take everybody further and like go down to Gatekeeper and then let people hike through Gatekeeper while George and I drive through Gatekeeper to get to the bowl.
Yeah.
So everybody gets out to the bowl and can see the bowl.
Yeah.
And, we got up to that spot and, you know, kind of starts going down a little bit as it gets down to kind of level out and then go out to Gatekeeper. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's those little ledges.
Yep. There's a couple little ledges there. And, that was icy.
Okay. Yeah.
Because there were three rigs trying to come up that as we hiked over to see if we wanted to take everyone down, and the rigs couldn't do it. They had to winch each other up.
Oh, wow.
So one rig winched itself up to a tree and then turned around and winched the next rig, and then that turned around and winched the third rig.
Got it.
And so they were all
huge winching point like halfway up that hill. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was underground, I believe, under the snow.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, and they were all super lightweight Toyotas. So it's like, if we were going to take these heavier Tacomas down, it was going to be a winch fest getting we had 10 people, 10 rigs at that time, getting everybody back up. So we're like,
no, thank you.
No, thank you. We don't want to put in this much work. If it was just George and I, we may have done it, but we're like, let's just turn around. It was a great day. Everybody had a good time from here. So we ended up heading out, and we, on our way back across the, on your heading out the second dam, it had a amazing sunset going on.
Yeah.
So we stopped everybody on the dam and got some great shots on the dam of everybody in the group in the sunset. And then just continued on down, aired up at the chalet, and said bye to everybody and took off.
Cool.
So it was a fun day.
Yeah, it sounds like a good day.
Much, much needed on my part.
Yeah.
Like after the end of that day, I was like, oh my God, I feel so just reset.
Refreshed.
So that was fun. And then Sunday, I installed my bump stops finally.
Nice.
At least the front ones.
Okay.
So the front bump stops are installed. They're a little closer than I really wanted them to be. But I'm hoping, because I got the poly pyramids rather than hydraulics or airs or anything like that. And so those poly pyramids should compress a little bit before they limit the stop, and they should wear in a little bit. So I'm hoping, as long as they compress and wear in 1 to 2 inches, 1.5 inches roughly there, it should be exactly where I want it to be.
Okay.
So, otherwise they're on. It took me, without having to sit there and counting the breaks of stopping, and then Ryan came over, who just bought a GX470, because he picked up a Morphlite and a kinetic rope I had laying around for him.
Nice.
Ended up sitting talking with him for a little bit, and the actual time I spent working on the bump stops was only about 2.5 hours.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. So I fabricated
front and rear,
just the fronts.
Just the fronts.
So that's all I'm going to do for Moab. I won't do the rears. I don't plan on going fast in Moab. I just want to avoid binding my front tires while trying to turn and climb stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. So I won't do the rears for Moab. And then I went to install the throttle cable for the Premier welder.
Yeah.
And I'm not using their throttle cable. I'm using a different cable.
Okay.
And I'm going to use one off of a bicycle. And I got an interesting one that essentially clamps around a hose, and then it's a rotational dial. So it's made to go on your bicycle handlebars.
Yeah.
So that you can sit there and rotate it.
Yes.
Right? Uh-huh. And I was like, that's kind of a nifty little, just kind of, and it click rotates. So I was like, it could be nice. I didn't have anything solid big enough that it could attach to.
Oh.
And so I was like, well, okay, there goes that. So I had to purchase another lever one.
Yeah. Where are you going to run the cable to?
I'm going to run it to the cruise control.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the cruise control one.
That's good.
Yeah.
So you're just going to run the cable out through the firewall and more or less across the engine, roughly.
It's going to be in the engine bay. The lever is going to be in the engine bay next to the Premier.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Not on your shifter.
No, because the whole point of this throttle control is to control the throttle for the Premier.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to put it there next to the premiere, and then run the cable over and around the firewall around the other side of the engine bay, and then come back into the cruise control slot there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted one of those just for actually crawling.
Yeah.
Just so you could just put in a few extra RPMs and not worry about feathering. Because there's times when like I'm on the gas to make it over a little obstacle, and then like it slips off or it drops, you know, and then the truck lunges and I lunge, and then I give it a little bit more throttle than I, you know, than I should or needs, you know, and then you kind of get a little axle wrap and it pops, you know. And I always thought, like, man, if I had a little throttle cable, just it would just hold everything still and it would work. So
I mean, you're still going to get axle wrap and everything from lunging, which I think is Kermit's main issue in rock crawling with this engine, is that it just, it lunges a lot, and there's a lot of, it's too much play in the suspension.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, that'll get fixed whenever I link it.
Yep. We need track bars or something.
Yeah.
Yep. Nice.
Yeah. So that was my weekend. Bumps are done. Cool. Our front bumps are done. Throttle cable has a new strategy, which I need to get done before going to Moab. And I have, I think I'm going to have like 95 orders to get out from Warfleet before going to Moab.
Nice. Yeah, I've got almost 20.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But panels should be in for me today when this episode airs.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
So fingers crossed.
Could knock all those out.
I was going to go out of town this weekend, but I had to cancel that.
Yeah.
Because I just have, I don't know why, but I didn't realize that Moab was next week.
Yeah. Well, we're going to San Jose on Friday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you and I are going to San Jose on Friday, which I've decided I'm not going to be staying the night because if it means I'm driving myself because I have to come back Friday night, then that'll work. That's going to be what's going to be.
Okay.
So
we'll talk about that.
Yeah. And then Sunday I'm going up to the in-laws in the afternoon to hand off the dog, for the week. And then, so I really only have like afternoons, evenings this week and Saturday to get out 95 orders.
Wow.
Yeah. And to get my throttle cable finished and fixed up.
Dang.
So.
Yep. It's we're both pretty slammed before we leave.
Yeah. It'll be an interesting week. I'm feeling fresh and reset now, but I have a feeling I'm going to be very, very on the point of killing people by the end of the week. So we'll see.
Yes. Understood.
Yeah. You had some feedback from Austin.
Yeah.
About something. Did you want to go through that now before we wrap it up?
We could do that real quick. Austin, he did message us and he said that, let's see here. He was sort of talking about the setup for Samantha.
Okay.
And it's a massive text. So what we're going to do here is I'm going to, for the most part, summarize a lot of it. He said, let's talk about Samantha on episode 181. He said, you are looking at the four-wheel underground kit. I have one of these installed and the rough stuff kit.
Okay.
He said that he purchased the four-wheel underground kit, but he didn't buy any of the links. He just bought the brackets,
the frame brackets,
because he wanted to make his own links and set it up the way that he kind of wanted.
Yeah.
Which I would be interested in talking to him a little bit more about that, because I think that they have it set up geometry wise how they want it. And so if you're changing that, then are you changing how the geometry of the brackets work? You know, that's sort of an interest. I mean, I'm sure there's
not necessarily. It depends on, center of gravity of your vehicle, height of your vehicle. So how big your tires are, they're going to be running, and the distances at which you put everything, because since everything's triangulated, as everything droops, it's going to wrap your axle as you're drooping your axle, how links work.
But if the brackets, let's say the brackets are set at like 12 degrees, just throwing numbers out there, right? And the other ones are set at 12 degrees. So, at the far end on the frame, well, if you make it longer than what it's supposed to be, that those 12 degrees won't line up anymore.
I mean, the degrees don't necessarily matter a ton, because that's the point of the joints.
Right.
the Johnny joints allow you to have play there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you're looking at a difference of 12 degrees to like 15 degrees.
Sure.
You're not going to be changing.
But then you are limiting the joints rotation.
By 3 degrees?
Well,
I mean, theoretically, yes, but is that an issue?
I don't know. I mean, that's
I don't think it would be.
I mean, personally. How much do I don't know enough about Johnny joints to say how much they even rotate. It's mm-hmm. like they rotate plus or minus 15 degrees and you max it out one way and you're not maxing it out the other way, then maybe it is an issue.
Mm.
I've never set one of these up. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But, so he was talking about the differences. He was saying what he was doing. And then he was curious what axles I was running.
Mm-hmm.
And so underneath Samantha, I'm going to run the mini truck axles
mm-hmm.
and, make those beefy.
Mm-hmm.
Sherpa also sent me a link to some armor for uh-huh. the mini truck axle.
Uh-huh.
And it more or less what you do is you cut out the front of the differential truck and you weld on a big beefy one.
Okay.
And it's interesting because that one's interesting too. And I'm not sure how that works, but because it rotates the fill valve up to the top
uh-huh.
and it's more or less makes it a half circle,
okay.
right? With no dimple like on one side.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can carry more fluid, you know, and you can fill it up really easy on the top, but it doesn't have a fluid level spot. Right. So it doesn't
you mean
like,
to know when
you're full or so you would have to then know how much you're putting in every single time.
Uh-huh. I believe it's 1.7 liters for a mini truck axle.
Right. But if you sure with a standard mini truck axle,
uh-huh.
right. But if that half caved in part of the front axle is now out, it's mm-hmm. more
mm-hmm.
right. And so you'd need to either figure out that by math uh-huh. or have yeah. a gauge thing or. Yeah. So I thought that was it would just be easier to just put a little hole there that has that has something that you can open and close so that when you fill it up, you know what level it is.
Yeah. Well, add a hole.
I can always add a hole, but I'm not sure if I'm going to go that route uh-huh. yet or not. I'm not sure which one I'm going to get. I actually haven't bought it. So I'm unsure which part axle protection for the front of the diff I'm going to get.
Okay.
I was going to do the trail gear ones that kind of protect the lower half, but mm-hmm. I might do the Marlin ones too, mm-hmm. or those other ones.
Mm.
I don't know if there's an advantage to just more fluid at the same height.
Not in the front axle
or in the rear,
maybe in the rear, because that's the one you're actually going high speed with.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to be in four wheel drive while you're doing 80 miles an hour on the freeway.
Not in this truck.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't think more fluid is advantageous at all in the front axle.
Maybe I'll do that style for the rear mm-hmm. and then the Marlin style for the front.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll see. So it was just interesting to hear, Austin's, kind of comparing them, but he was, he went with the four wheel underground setup.
Okay.
So yeah.
Yeah. And then I would do
a video.
Yeah.
Which we will.
Yeah. I would be doing it the same way. Like that's how I'm planning on setting up, Corey's runner is by just getting the brackets and then building my own links.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to make sure that the links are where I want them.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm not, because the whole point of joints is to secure the axle, I don't want to say laterally, it'd be in line with the vehicle, and to keep it from wrapping, right?
Yeah.
So the axle, you have a track bar on it, a panhard, to keep it in laterally from moving out from under the vehicle, the side-to-side movement. Side. So if the vehicle is going to be limited side-to-side, I don't think that the play in the joints, that rotational play, I think you're going to have a big variation, the allowable tolerance there, a very large one compared to the forward and backwards movement. That's the one that is not very tolerable.
Sure.
I should say on the links.
Yeah. I don't know enough to mm-hmm. to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've never set one up. I don't know. I've seen them. I uh-huh. understand how like the theory behind it,
uh-huh.
but there's no movement forward to back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have a solid bar,
mm-hmm.
which has a radius,
mm-hmm.
is that what you mean forward to back?
No, forward to back is in like tensile strength to the bar.
Okay. Which, yeah. So it's pretty much locked.
It's locked. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the point of them. So there's no tolerance there.
Right. So the movement of the joints is still, that's where the rotation comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that and the bolt. rotation.
Yeah. Yeah, it can rotate on the bolt, and then the joint rotates itself mm-hmm. within the joint.
Yeah.
The joint. And so that's where your play is, and that's they're designed so that you get that play
right.
and that variable, that tolerance mm-hmm. in the suspension.
Right. And my curiosity is when you just buy the four-wheel underground, which is an outstanding kit, mm-hmm. Has their system designed to work with their setup, mm-hmm. right? And it's not necessary. I don't think it's necessarily made to be very modular on you tweaking it very much, mm-hmm. right? It's for the most part, it's made like here's the suspension, and you weld it in these locations, and you're ready, okay. right? So by pushing the axle forward, or moving the upper link bracket farther back, mm-hmm. you're changing the geometry.
And slightly. I mean, you're not changing it by more than what the joints can do.
Yeah. Well, I think that's understood. And uh-huh. But I also think that now if you change that geometry, are you running into a limitation of the joint, or is it enough that it's not going to be an issue? And I don't have that answer.
Yeah. It's a good question.
And where the rough stuff one is more like, you can buy all the brackets and they're made to be adjustable.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. They're not, it's not so much of a, like you place these, I mean, it is, you place these here, but you trim to rotate the bracket the way you want it.
You can't do that with the four wheel underground.
You might be able to, but to me, that one looks much more like it's a set in place and go, because uh-huh. it has the brackets to fit in specific areas. You know, like mm-hmm. this perfectly goes over the differential and matches up in this location, you know?
Okay.
So I don't know. I mean, I think the way that I take it is if you want this exact setup, the four wheel underground one is great. You can probably modify it too, but the rough stuff one to me is like, it's very raw and mm-hmm. you need to make the whole thing work.
Yeah.
They don't set it. It's not set and forget. Like yeah. You have to design it and build it.
Yeah.
So okay. That's sort of the way that I'm taking the differences.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that's a lot of what Rough Stuff does, right? Mm-hmm. That's the whole point of Rough Stuff, is they provide you with really awesome stuff to then fabricate and use how you want to use right. it. So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, cool. So the last thing on the agenda for today is we have officially done the March giveaway.
Well, April giveaway. We did the March giveaway too, right?
No.
Wait, what month is it? March giveaway. Yes. You're right. We did the February giveaway.
We did the February giveaway. We've recorded the March giveaway. We haven't announced it though, or put it out there. So officially, Jacob Arthur is the winner of the Morphlade Stubby for this month, for nice. March.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Congratulations.
And then for April, what's the next month after March?
Yeah.
April. We're giving away an option. You have a choice here between the 90 tooth 14 piece standard wrench set from Gear Wrench, mm-hmm. which is $160-$170 retail value.
Yeah.
Or,
well, retail, I think, this is where it gets interesting. Yeah,
depends where you're looking.
Retail for gear from Gear Wrench is like 200 and something, but if you find it on Amazon or Acme Tools, it's mm-hmm. much less. It's okay. 174 or something.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So you have the choice of that one, the 14 piece standard 90 tooth ratcheting wrench mm-hmm. combination wrench set, or the 16 set, the 16 piece
metric
set mm-hmm. of the same one, that 90 tooth combo ratcheting wrench set.
Yeah, they're brand new 90 mm-hmm. tooth ones, which give you 4 degrees of arc. It's they're mm-hmm. really nice, smooth. Beefy. They're the not a flex head style. They're just a normal ratcheting wrench. And yeah, you can get the 14 piece standard or the 16 piece metric. Mm-hmm. Your choice, one of those, a winner in April. Mm-hmm.
So why are we doing those specifically, Jimmy?
Well, we have started working with Gear Wrench a little more. Uh-huh. And you've probably seen some photos of what's going on in the snail shop. And but we also are carrying stock of some Gear Wrench items, mm-hmm. some of their popular items, and we're selling them on the Snail Trail website.
Yeah.
And so these two are up on the website right now. There's also, I think there's the 16-piece metric ratcheting set combo. I think it's a 72 tooth, but it has the switch on it.
Oh, reversible.
So reversible style, nice. Which is one of my favorite ones because mm-hmm. I always put them on the wrong way, and it's nice to just be able to flip the switch instead of flip the whole wrench over.
Yeah.
And I think the 170 piece crescent set is up on the website as well.
Wow.
I'll see if I can get, I have a few more things I want to get up there before this episode airs, so mm-hmm. there'll be more. But I know I have this 170 piece set in the Tacoma. It lives in my Tacoma. It's my like little toolkit that I carry around with me. It has quarter inch, 3/8, half inch. It's got screwdrivers. It's got all different sizes. I pulled it out the other day to work on Charlotte, and mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I need a 21 millimeter to pull off the lug nuts, and it has it. Uh-huh. Like it gets decent sizes in there. Gear wrench, Corey carries one around in Blanche, the Forerunner. That's his go-to toolkit. It's a great all around little toolkit mm-hmm. for something like this, or like if you need a small toolkit from the house, this would be a good solution. Mm-hmm.
And it's so, in a blown mold carrying case too. Is.
Yeah.
That latches all up really yeah. securely. So
one side holds everything in, the other side's all loose. So
yeah.
don't do what I've done and open it up the wrong, way.
The wrong way.
But yeah, it's, it works out. It's a great kit. It's yeah. really cool.
So, yeah, we are, officially kind of, I don't want to say we're not really a distributor. We're trying out to see if we want to become a distributor for mm-hmm. Gear Wrench and do some stuff retail. But the thing that we wanted to do was really try and they have a ton of options between Gear Wrench, Crescent, Lufkin, all the different brands that Apex Tools kind of oversees. Mm-hmm. We wanted to try and find the stuff that off-roaders would most likely use and need
yeah.
in their shops or on the trail.
Yep.
So we're going to be also looking at putting together kind of an a la carte kit with a bunch of random other tools that would be work best, in our opinion, as a trail kit.
Yes.
And we're going to have that on the website as well. So this is to this month's giveaway is to kind of as a celebration kickoff to, having some gear wrench stuff on the Snail Trail website so that we can see if this is something that we want to move forward with, if there's mm-hmm. demand out there for it, if this is something that you guys are looking for, because this is the kind of the number one thing that we've always run into issues with is people keep asking us, well, where can I buy gear wrench tools at? And
yeah.
we never really have had a great answer.
Right.
For the stuff that we use, that we believe in, the specific tools that we're like, this tool is fucking amazing. We think everybody should have one of these in their shop.
Mm-hmm.
And we go to recommend people to go to a certain place, and then that person doesn't have that one tool that right. we're looking for.
Yep.
So this will finally be an answer to that.
Yes.
We're hoping. So this is going to kick it off, and we'll yeah. see how it goes, see where it takes us, and hopefully you guys becomes a good resource for you.
Right. Yeah, I think that that's a good summary. I think what we do need to say is we don't have every one of Gear Wrench's tools.
No.
Right? We do have a very select amount of and a very select few tools, mm-hmm. primarily some of the 90-tooth ratcheting ones and some cases of tools.
Mm-hmm.
We do have the like 230 piece and the 220 and the 230s,
mm-hmm.
the boxes that have the little drawers. We do have some yeah. of those as well.
Those are awesome trail kits too, because right? you can just put a strap around it so drawers don't open and then throw that in your rig somewhere.
Yeah. And you've got almost every tool yeah. you're going to need. Uh-huh. We are going to try and get the quad boxes in.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are interested in a tool, let us know, or let me know, or Tyler know, I mm-hmm. guess. And we'll see if we can start carrying those or get those for you. But right now this is sort of, we're in an introduction phase of trying to do this. And so we have a limited supply and limited
Correct.
Amount or items.
Limited options. Yeah.
Options is a good one. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll be looking at expanding it in the future. Let us know what you're looking for.
Yep.
So cool. I think that does it for this episode. I think we can wrap it on up. So how do people get a hold of us if they want to let us know what tools they're looking for?
Yeah. You can email us at Jimmy or Tyler at snailtrail4x4.com. You can hit me up on Instagram, snailtrail4x4. You can find Tyler, 4x4, Toyota Tyler.
Cool. Sounds good, man. Yeah, let us know if you guys need anything, want anything, any feedback, if we missed any more Supras out there in the wild. Also, if you're interested in starting a new segment to the show, call. That would be a listener feedback where we can do essentially what the Trail Chasers do. I'm going to put this out there. I thought of this before even knowing that this is what they do. But we can set up a Google Voice phone number that listeners can call into.
Yeah.
And leave a voicemail, literally anything you want. It doesn't have to be questions. I know that a lot of the Trail Chasers ones are like questions.
I wanted to do this for the longest time. I wanted it on our website. Mm-hmm. That's what I think I was telling you, right?
That was one of the things that we wanted to do originally with the show, but we were going to be doing it through like emails and like have a listener segment of the show. But now with this board, so easily connecting to phones and allow us to listen to voicemails real easy and share the voicemails with everybody like we did earlier in the show. I think it'd be a really fun segment to do. So
agreed. I think that'd be a lot of fun. And you reminded me, I talked about this very briefly and I wanted you to remind me of this, but I reminded myself of it.
Good job.
affiliate things. I had a guy reach out to me for snail armor.
Okay.
And he said, "Hey, I want a snail armor." Mm-hmm. Do you offer military discounts? And I said, yes, I do. Mm-hmm. And so I gave him the discount code. He said, cool. I also run this Toyota Tacoma Instagram page. Would you be willing to swap a panel for a shout out on this page? And I go and look at the page and it has like 3,000 followers. And I'm looking at it and I go, okay, well, when was this post? And it was like December of 2021. Right?
Or 2020?
2020, excuse me. And I was like, okay, well, what was the next post? And it was like December of 2019. When was the next post? And so he had one in 2020, three in 2019, and then he had a few more in like 2018. And I messaged the guy and I'm like, yeah, I'm not sure that this is going to work out. You don't seem very active on this Tacoma Instagram page. And he's like, yeah, I've been letting it go. Would you be willing to swap the panel for the Instagram page? I'm like, no, I don't need another Instagram page. So you can, you're still more than welcome to have the discount code for being military, we can work together that way, but I don't think anything else is gonna work out. And he hasn't put an order in since.
So, oh well.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. I was like, one post last year,
one a year,
one a year. Okay. You want a $180 product.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Everybody thinks they're an affiliate or what's the word I'm looking for? Every Instagrammer thinks
influencer.
They are an influencer just because they have an Instagram page.
Yeah. The other thing I've been noticing too is that, people get a lot of followers, but they don't get a lot of good engagement rates. Mm-hmm. And so people are like, I've got 10,000 followers. And I'm like, you get 50 likes per post.
Right.
I don't think you're influencing your local people very well.
No, they bought those followers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I've been noticing that a lot too. I've had a lot more people reaching out to Morflate and I'm like, sorry.
Yeah.
It's like you have a lot of followers, but you're not super engaging for whatever reason. I don't know why, but I'm looking for people who are engaging with their followers a lot. Those are the influencers.
Right.
You just have a lot of followers. And I don't know how you got them. So
yeah. I mean, I have 10,000 followers and I get 300 to about 800 engagements, likes, and like 30 comments.
Yeah.
So
I'm finding that's pretty average rate. That's a pretty average rate. I've been finding that a lot of people's engagement rates have been going way down since Instagram changed up the algorithm to favor Reels. And the accounts that are doing more Reels are getting much higher engagement rates.
I'm going to probably start trying with playing with some Reels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's that. The other thing that I'm kind of in a conundrum with is that I'm getting, as off-roading and events are becoming more popular, I'm getting more requests to have Morflate donate items for raffles and events for fundraising at events, right? Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, cool. And every single event so far has been 100% of these proceeds are going to go to this veteran organization.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, that's cool. I'm all for proceeds going to VAs or veterans organizations or something to help veterans get off road or get out in the outdoors or children's hospitals. I'm all for that. But let's put some of the proceeds back into the off-road industry, you guys.
Right.
I'm really like, it's going to start bugging me and I'm debating on whether or not to stop using Morflate funds to fund things that are just taking the money and just dumping it away from off-roading.
Right.
So this is my plea. I don't know if any of these organizations listen to the Snail Trail 4x4. I don't know if there's a bunch of off-roading organizations that do, but let's just start with like 50%. Some of the proceeds going back towards an off-roading organization, and then have the other 50 go to veterans and children's hospitals and all these other great things that they should be going to. Proceeds do need to go to these places, but let's just not take everything and just dump it and take it out of the off-roading industry.
Sure. I agree with that. Absolutely.
So we'll get into that a little bit more on next episode. That's a good teaser here for Monday's episode. And we'll leave it at that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Jimmy, do you have any final words for everybody?
My father said that the lady gets the ring around the finger and the man gets the ring through the nose, just like the bull, so that the woman can lead the man around.
And with that, my friends, keep crawling.
How about this one? This one will fit. I might have said this one before too, but it might fit the podcast.
Okay.
I got one for you.
Okay.
Why don't melons have weddings?
Why don't they have weddings?
Sorry. Let me start over.
I'm putting this all on.
Why do melons have weddings?
Why do they have weddings?
Yes.
I don't know.
Because they cantaloupe.
Oh, yeah, you said that one, I think.
Yeah. Did you hear the rumor about butter?
Mm-mm.
I'm not going to spread it.
Yeah.
Have you heard the joke about pizza?
No.
Yeah, it's a bit cheesy.
Yeah.